Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
All right, so are you guys ready for the word this morning? Can we read this together? Come on, read it and think about what it's saying. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of the body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Can you say amen to the word this morning? Now, Paul here has just got finished talking to us before this passage about being filled with the Spirit. And he begins in verse 19 to tell us how we can be filled with the Spirit. How can we stir up that intoxicating presence of God in our lives? And church, the answer comes back in worship. Amen. Paul, being a broken and wounded man, is inclined to talk to us about worship. Because worship can be where my soul gets a sedative. Worship is the salve of the broken spirit. And Paul here lets us in to his secret stash of medicine so that we might understand how in the midst of all his rejection, he is able to endure the pain. So he says, this is my counsel to you, church. He says, speak to yourself. If you're going to survive life, you got to be able to talk to yourself. If you're going to endure the pain and find the strength to keep getting up, it's not what others say about you that makes the difference, church. It's what you say to yourself. I'm telling you, people's words don't have nearly as much power as you think they do. It is the stuff that you allow them to get in your head and make you repeat that causes you to go down. For it's really, as the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So you're really snared by the words of your own mouth. I'll never be snared by what you said about me. I'll be snared by what I said about myself. So Paul says, if you're going to be healed, if you're going to endure the pain and survive crises and traumas, he says, you've got to learn how to walk around talking to yourself. You've got to get out on the highway and cut the radio off and start murmuring to yourself. You've got to say, wait a minute, I'm better than this devil. I'm better than this. I've come too far and been through too much to quit now. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, I thank you that you ain't never left me. You didn't leave me when I didn't have a job back then, Lord. You didn't leave me when I had the trouble before. You didn't leave me way back there. I thank God you're with me now. I thank you for your presence and your glory. And church, you got to do it to the point that people are driving past you trying to see who you're talking to, because there's nobody in the car but you. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. Now, he says to speak to yourself in songs. Speak to yourself poetically, tenderly and intimately. Speak to yourself in songs. He says speak to yourself in hymns. Speak to yourself about the blood and the cross and God's grace and love and his righteousness and his holiness and who he is in your life. Speak to yourself. And then he says, speak to yourself in psalms and hymns, and speak to yourself in spiritual songs. Ooh, spiritual songs are songs that nobody wrote. Spiritual songs are born out of the spontaneity of the moment. They are born out of the intimacy you have with God. They are born out of the love you have for God. It just happens in the spontaneity of the moment. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Church, he introduces us to what I call the singing heart. The singing heart has nothing to do with pitch or harmony. You can have a singing heart with your lips closed. He says here that God wants you to experience a singing heart. A singing heart is so glad that it seems to skip a beat in excitement and tenacity. It gives us attitude. It gives us personality. It gives us function. When the heart sings, it causes the eye to twinkle and the face to smile. A singing heart comes out of the depth of your being. If you're going to survive life, listen, if you're going to survive life, you might lose a lot of things in this life, but church, don't ever lose a singing heart. A singing heart. Verse 20 says, then he says in verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here is doing a wonderful job of developing what could be a great message on praise and worship. And then the next thing he says is, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he says, wives, submit. Paul goes from worship to submission and the relationship in marriage, and it doesn't seem like there is any continuity in that. All this stuff about worship and praise and the speaking and the singing and the making melody in your heart, all that makes sense. What does wives submit unto your own husbands have to do with praise and worship? Where's the continuity, Paul? Well, church, out of respect for the fact that Paul wrote most of the New Testament, let's see if Paul is up to something here. Can we go see? Because, church, we are going to see how praise and worship ties into submission, and we are going to see how worship ties in with the celebration of the male and female becoming one. So as we talk about submission, I want you to notice that he starts talking about submission by saying, submit yourselves, all of us, one to another in the fear of God. The NIV says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he doesn't start out by talking about man, woman, husband, wife. He starts by talking about just people. He's talking to a church. It's like Paul is writing a letter to Christ Bible Church. And Paul says to Christ Bible Church, submit yourselves, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, what does that communicate? It tells me that if I have a relationship with Christ, where I'm walking in submission to Christ, that out of that relationship should flow a mutual submission to people that are in my life. Not necessarily because of offices or titles they stand in, but just because they are another human being. So I want you to realize as we continue to read the text, we have to understand that the context is mutual submission. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ is inclusive. It's talking about everybody. All the different combinations that one can come up with are included here. Church relationships, work relationships, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now listen, how do you feel when you hear that statement? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you feel that Paul is saying to us, look, maturity means that you should learn to submit. Maturity means, watch, listen, maturity means you should learn to be willing to make some concessions. In the church, we can be so unwilling to make any concessions, and there is no submissive spirit in that. Maturity means that you should be willing to not always take the lead or try to be on top in terms of authority. So he says, he counsels the church to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means that my relationship with Christ makes me so secure and I have such a reverence for that relationship that I have no problem submitting myself to you. See, I may know more about something than you. You may know more about something than me, and I find myself submitting to you about what you know. You find yourself submitting to my lead about what I know, and here we are having this mutual submission. Amen? Now, as he moves to verse 22 now, he's going to get specific about submission in talking about the wife and the husband. Now, church, before we talk about submission between the wife and the husband, listen, a subject that has been butchered in the church. You don't hear me? I said a subject that has been butchered in the church. Now, let me say this. Submission does not mean that you have been enslaved or controlled or put in your place. It doesn't mean you've been made less. It doesn't mean you've been suffocated. It doesn't mean that you've been depersonalized and you become just a housekeeping machine or a sex object. Submission means, listen, submission means learning how to accept the husband's place in order to see and understand what you can become together. So Paul says in verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now notice, church, it doesn't say women submit to men. You get that? It doesn't say women submit to men. It says wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, watch, as unto the Lord. Ooh, now that's a key phrase there. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now watch this. Watch this. Sarah, the first lady of faith, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, called her husband Abraham Lord, and listen, and God never got jealous. God never got jealous. Perhaps the first lady of faith, knew something that we need to understand. She called him Lord. And now Paul, hundreds of years later, counsels the wife to submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. So Paul uses what I call in his writings, I call them the like-as principles, or the metaphors of being as. Later in the text, he'll say, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If you go back to the beginning of Ephesians 5, verse 2, he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath walked in love. The like-as principles. He says, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Watch this. That means, church, he's not the Lord, but as. That means he's not the Lord, but as. He said, play like he is. Play like he is. See, he's challenging her to walk by faith. Listen, he's telling her that murmuring and bickering and complaining against him, listen, will never build him. He's telling her a principle of development of relationship. He says, praise him into what you want him to be, and when you praise him, he'll be magnified. You can't ever talk down to somebody and expect them to get up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't talk down and expect somebody to get up. When you talk up to somebody, it makes anybody want to stand up. And church, this goes for all relationships between women and men, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a dating relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a brother-sister relationship, whatever way, listen, whatever way you are relating to a man, you get a whole lot more out of a man that you adore, that you treat with respect, that you appreciate, and that you look up to. And listen to me, not looking up to them in some phony, superficial, flattering way, but in a way that honors the man. Relate to a man, watch, relate to a man in the way that lifts him up, just the same way you would lift up Jesus. That's what he's saying here. The woman relates to the man as the church relates to Christ. And as the church, what do? We lift up Christ. So relate to a man in a way that lifts him up, just the same way you would lift up Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you sure? Well, you say, ladies, well, he doesn't act like Jesus. Ooh. Well, maybe he doesn't understand how yet. Let's not forget that all of us, men, women, we are all broken vessels. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And it talks about in verse 24, he says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. See, we don't like to deal with these sorts of things because what we call submission is not submission. Submission, listen, submission is, and this is for anything, submission is when your will wants to go in one direction and my will wants to go in another, but there are going to be times because you respect me so much that you say, not my will, but thine be done. See, if that were not true, church, you wouldn't even be saved. Because Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father, and that's what got you saved. You got saved through a principle of submission. So Christ said, if it be thy will, pass this bitter cup from me. And then he says, oh, no, no, no. I will never be able to be effective in ministry till I learn the principle of submission. Not my will, but thine be done. And his submission, listen, made him greater than his defiance ever would. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, can I just talk to the sisters for 1 minute? Well, I got to tell you something, my sisters. Since we are running through this text, trying to figure out what in the world Paul is talking about. Now, I don't particularly, no, let me say this first. First of all, sister, you know I'm your friend, right? You know that. Come on. Listen, I've done women's conferences. I've got, listen, stacks of cards and letters from women. Pastor Charlie, you understand. Thank you for empathizing. Some of you I've sat with for hours. So you know I'm your friend, ladies. I'm with you. I understand how you feel. I'm not a male chauvinist pig. I am with you. So listen, for what I'm about to say, please don't get your women's right suit on right now. But dear heart, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you this, that I don't feel sorry for you about this submission. Because you're going to see that the man's role requires much more sacrifice. But I don't feel sorry for you. Listen, because you get to choose who you submit to. Now, you don't hear what I'm saying. You get to choose who you submit to. You can walk around saying, no, that you're too crazy, not you. No. Oh, you treat women like objects, not you. Oh, you need a mother and not a wife. No, not you. Oh, you don't even have a job, not you. No. You don't even have good sense. Not you. I can't live with you. You get to choose. And if you choose the wrong joker, I don't know what to tell you. We'll try to help you, but if you get to choose. Wives, submit unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, church, look at verse 23. And let's get into some real exegesis and Greek and scholarly work here, because this is going to help you understand this. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, let's look at some of the key words in this text. And the key words are submit and head. Now, one scholar states this, and I'm going to quote him. He says, the traditional perspective held by people unfamiliar with the meaning of Paul's words have created unnecessary conflicts in marriages and unnecessary conflicts in the minds of men and women. And church, the two words that seem to create problems are the words submit and head. Right? They're the words that seem to create big problems. Now, the Greek language in which the New Testament is written is a more precise language than the English language. If I say to you, for example, oh, I just love pizza, or I just love that woman, you can't really differentiate which I love the most or to what degree I love either. But the Greek language has different words for love to describe different types and degrees of love so we can have some level of exactness. Now, the word submit here is connected to the word head. And Paul is giving us the manner in which we should submit. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. So the reason he is saying, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So he is connecting the two. But the definition of the word submit and the definition of the word head is not what you or I would ordinarily interpret that to mean. If I said, for example, who's the head of your company? You're going to think automatically the CEO, the boss. Because in the English language, when we think of the word head, we think of the boss, the person in charge, the power, the ruler, the authority, the captain, the general, the head. But this word in the Greek that Paul uses here does not mean that. It is a different word. In fact, church, there are three different Greek words that the word head could be interpreted from. So the English word head can have its origin in three different Greek words. How, are you following me? Now, one of those Greek words is the word authority, boss, leader, ruler, and that's the word arche in the Greek. It's where we get the word power and importance. Arche, archangel, archbishop, archenemy. When I think about an archbishop or an archenemy, I think about my primary enemy or the bishop that is supreme. So the Greek word arche speaks of a leader in terms of power, authority, boss, or ruler. But church, this is not the word Paul is using here. He had a choice to use that word or not use that word, and he did not use the word arche. He chose the Greek word kephaphale. For the husband is the kephaphale of the wife. The word kephaphale in the Greek for head means the foremost. It's where we get the word physical head. It's like the head on my shoulders. It's the one who goes out first. It's the one who is first to lead out. It's talking about, really, the first soldier in the battle. Let the first man lead them out. Kephaphale means the capstone on the door, the initiator, the cornerstone, the foundation. Now watch, if I read the text in light of that definition, it says, for the husband is the first to lead out, the capstone on the door, the cornerstone, the foundation of the wife, just as Christ is the cornerstone, the foundation, the first to lead out the church. Got it? In this context, what the Bible is explaining to us is one of the aspects of the ministry of Christ, that he leads out the church. He is the capstone. He is the one who goes before us. He is the initiator. And that's what Paul is saying the head is, kephaphale. So when we come back to the text with that definition in mind, church, doesn't it set a different light on things? It sets a much different light on things. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head, the capstone over the door, the cornerstone, the foundation, the one who goes before, the first who leads out. As Christ is the head, the capstone over the door, the cornerstone, the foundation, the ones who goes before, the first who leads out the church. Amen? Now he says, now wives, submit to your husbands because of that. Now the Greek word, let's work on this word submit. The Greek word for submit is the word hupotasso, which means, hupotasso means to be subject to subordinate. Now watch this. But the manner in which Paul uses the word was what's called in the Greek the middle tense or the middle voice. And the word he uses is hupotassamai. And the way Paul used it in the middle voice, hupotassamai, watch what it means. It means to willingly, voluntarily, actively be subject to. For example, church, if I say to you, sit down, or if I say, sit down, don't they mean two different things? Correct? They mean two different things. Why? Because of the tone of my voice, because of the inflection of my voice, because the manner in which I presented that with my voice. Correct? And when you read the verse here, church, you have to understand that Paul is also conveying to us in the technical grammar of the day the kind of tone and kind of feeling behind the word. So the word is not just a hard and fast word when he says submit. He is using what's called the middle voice where he's saying, wives, submit to your husbands. Paul was asking. He wasn't telling. He was asking. And since the word submit is in the middle voice, in the tone, it is voluntary in nature. He's saying, wives, give allegiance to, tend to the needs of, be supportive of, or be responsive to your husband. Now, church, I'm saying all that, watch. I'm saying all this to you about the middle voice of the word, hupotassamai, the tone, the technical grammar. I'm saying all that to you. So if you are in different settings listening to people teach on this, you will know if they've really studied the word. You'll know. Because you can't just listen to people teach because they have a strong opinion. Or because they have a charismatic nature to their ministry. Being a charismatic person doesn't make you right. Being flamboyant or having a strong personality doesn't make you a strong leader or doesn't make you know what you're talking about. It's not always the person that speaks the loudest or the strongest or the most forceful that's the leader. So when you start to listen to people teach, especially on these words submit or head, you have to see if they're teaching you the meaning of the word they're using. What is the meaning of the word in its culture? What is the meaning of the word in its original language? What is the meaning of the word within its context? In theological circles, that's called good exegesis. And that's where you have to go with this. So it says, wives, submit. Now, what does the word submit mean, church? Does it mean submit to him dictatorially? No, the word again is hupotassamai. It is voluntarily submit yourself to your husband. Be supportive of your husband. Be responsive to your husband. Tend to the needs of your husband. Voluntarily give allegiance to your husband. It is more of a voluntary nature. And it says do that as the church submits to Christ. You do it like the church submits to Christ. Now watch this. Any one of us in here voluntarily submits ourselves to the Lord, do we not? No one can force you to live for the Lord. No one can force that. You have to voluntarily, willingly submit to the Lord's leadership in your life. And that is what is being talked about here with the wife to the husband. So Paul was asking the wives to voluntarily give allegiance to their husbands, to tend to their needs, to be supportive of them, to be responsive to your husbands. The same way that the church would give allegiance to Christ, would be supportive of Christ, and would be responsive to Christ. Wow. Wow. So wives, submit in the same way. Give allegiance to, be supportive of your husbands, be responsive to your husbands as to the Lord. Why? For the husband is the head. He's the kephaphale of the wife. He's the one who leads out. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. That's why, just as Christ is the cornerstone, the foundation, the one who leads out the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Amen? Now, as the church submits to Christ, as the church voluntarily submits to Christ, as we are supportive of Christ, as we are responsive to Christ, he's saying, so also wives should be responsive to their husbands in everything. Do you see it? Do you see it? So he says, wives, submit. Be responsive to your husbands as unto the Lord. Try to anticipate what his needs may be. Do it in a voluntary sense. Don't do it out of obligation. Do it because you love him. Do it because of your relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, church, I'm actually going to stop there today because to get into the rest of this is too much. We're going to finish this next week and pick up with the husband's role next week and finish this chapter. And we're going to see how he starts with worship, and he moves into submission and marriage and relationship, and then, church, he takes us back to Adam and Eve and the parallels between Christ and the church. And so next week, I'm going to be reiterating some of what we said last week about Adam and Eve and Christ and the church, and even adding more understanding to that. And we're going to see how all that ties together to really explain the mystery of Christ and the church. Can you say amen? Well, we'll continue and pick that up next week. Come on, church, stand to your feet. Stretch your arms out. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the truth of his word. Did you get anything out of that today, church? Do you understand? Do you have a better understanding of submission? Come on, raise your hand if you got a better understanding of submission this morning. Amen. All right, we're going to close in song. It's I'm a Friend of God. All right, let's just celebrate this morning our friendship with God. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week. Oh,